Coming to the greater Green Bay Area live from the WGBW studios at the City Deck Landing and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
I like it.
I like it, too.
That's awesome, Johnny. I know I was heavy on the Tina Turner,
yeah.
But this is good stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
A little Rush.
Yeah, it is. This is good in the
Our
morning.
Our boy Jason and Todd, I'll tell you what, we're experimenting with different intros.
All right.
That's got some kick to it. That gets you up and
so
moving.
So far... Number
I don't even need the Starbucks
me.
To get me going with that.
Well, I don't know what that is.
Outstanding. And by the way, Smite on the Mayor for Pella Windows and Doors in Wisconsin. Talking about the birds and the bees. Well, we want to keep all of that out of our house. Unless, of course, you're Big Wayne. He probably has bees in his house, don't you think? The beekeeper.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
By the way, that video now of Big Wayne is on our Facebook. Mino and the Mayor Facebook. You have to see this. He puts his hands into a swarm of probably 1,000 bees.
Totally. Yeah.
1,000 bees. But anyway...
And I think he gets stung because he doesn't show his
continually.
Face. Right.
The beauty of the 250 series from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin is that they have exclusive hidden screens, which can stay inside the window while you're not using it. How brilliant is that? Forget about the fly swatter. Have a beautiful outdoor view whenever screens aren't needed. Also within the 250 series line, Pella's outstanding patio doors. If you bundle and save, 250 series patio door and 8 double hung windows with exclusive hidden screens. Pay as low as $188 per month. Phenomenal deal. Visit PellaWI.com today. Certain restrictions apply. See the showroom for details. Offer ends 8/31/2023. Joining us right now, along with Joe Olick, the Director of Veteran Services for Brown County, is a very prominent veteran of Brown County. I think you're... Chuck, are you still Brown County where you live out there?
No, that'd be O'Connell County.
O'Connell County. Chuck Wellens is joining us. Chuck is a great friend of mine. Chuck will be joining me on stage at the Brown County Fair on Sunday, August 20th for Military and Veterans Appreciation Day. Also be taking part in my book signing. Right, Chuck?
That's correct. Yep.
And Chuck, you know, just
looking forward to
all
it.
Right. And O'Connell County is part of the MSA. It's part of the Metropolitan Statistical Area. So, Chuck, when they chose Green Bay MSA as the number one place to live, you know, U.S. News and World Report came out with that a few months ago. O'Connell was part of that. So you live in a great neighborhood.
That I know that. And I've been here. You know, it's funny, when you're a kid, you look to get away from here.
Right.
When you got older, here I am again.
Isn't that nice?
Almost right on the river.
Right.
Yeah, he's got a great place.
That's great. Well, thanks for joining us today. Yeah, we're talking with Joe a little bit, and I'm excited to see you and Johnny with your presentation. You know, the county fair kicks off Thursday, not this week, Thursday. What was
17th,
that?
Maybe?
Is that, yeah, it would be the
17th. Because we're going to be there Sunday the 20th.
Yeah, yep. You're the
17th.
Okay, the 17th, and then you're going to be there on the 20th. Yeah, what are you going to share with the audience?
Go ahead, Chuck.
What's that?
Oh, he was asking you the question. What are you going to share with the audience?
Oh, I thought you were going to just throw me some questions or whatever.
I'm going to set you up. Because, like, one of the things is I'm going to ask you, where were you for the Ice Bowl?
That I can answer.
And tell them where you were.
Okay, I was, I had just got freshly in country. I was a new guy assigned to an infantry unit and a place called Quezon. And I didn't even spell it right the first time I rode home, but little did I know what lay ahead. But prior to all the things that happened, it started on the 21st of January. We always had a radio call. I was assigned to a crew-served weapon, a mortar squad. So I got, naturally, being the new guy, you got the good shifts, you know, like from 2 in the morning for a couple hours. Right. Well, we had Armed Forces Radio Network. We had strong signals there. It's hard to believe, you know, we were out. It was like you might have been on the moon, the area we lived in. And obviously, we didn't have, you know, the technology of nowadays. It was pretty prehistoric then. So we had a little AM radio, and it pulled it in pretty good. It mostly just played music, you know, music of the 60s. which was the time frame we were in, and kind of took your mind off the situation you were in. The little dark underground bunker, the two guys that operated the gunner and the A-gunner slept in that bunker, and that's where the radio was. So I went up to take my duty, and I'm sitting there listening to the music, and all of a sudden they interrupt that they're going to have live from Green Bay, Wisconsin. You know, the it was the Ice Bowl, and obviously they didn't call it that then, but and I just thought I died and went to heaven. I mean, my God, middle of the night, halfway around the world, and here I got to listen to the entire game. I took my watch, and I don't know how many, a couple after me. But I always remember at the end of the game, it's it was an AM signal, so it started fading in and out. And I just, you know, come on, you know. And then I just heard star and touchdown, and I let out a scream. Wow. And then two guys in that bunker that they were sleeping on there in that bunker. I kind of got some bad words thrown at me, but I always said, obviously they weren't Packer fans. So.
Wow, isn't that
quite an ordeal.
What a fond memory of a really challenging time. You know what I mean? I mean, I just love that about football. I want to stay focused on you, but not to digress, but there are so many things that have brought people together over an NFL football game. And I just, what a great story. And I'm glad that happened to you. And that was one of your better memories there.
Probably the one good memory you have for there, huh, Chuck?
That was one good memory.
That was one.
But I tell you what, the guys I served with, I think, you know, you can relate to that, Joe. The fellas you served with, it meant the world and all to you.
Means the world.
Such a great group of guys there, and they'll forever be in my memory.
Always.
Nice. Got to tell this one other story, Chuck. And this is almost an ongoing story because I think we need to move further with this. But so they got attacked really bad. They got attacked really bad numerous times. But on this one occasion, he had this really great friend, and the friend had to stand guard duty in the middle of the night. But he didn't have a watch. So Chuck loaned him his watch. So they got hit really hard. The guy's arm got just mangled. Chuck is helping carry him onto the medevac. And the last thing the guy says to Chuck is, Chuck, I'm so sorry. I think I lost your watch. And here the guy's arm was all mangled. Chuck put him on the bird. Always wondered all his life if he survived or not. Right, Chuck?
Yep, I did. You know, and I'm not tech savvy, so I've been trying for years, and thank God I mentioned it to you because you got it. Now I'm going to link up with the veterans agent, Ron. I seen him last week, Ron Christensen, and he's going to go through because this friend of mine, his name is Troy. Troy, he lives in West Virginia, and unfortunately he died about 3 years ago. But he's got two children, and I asked Ron to if he could get in touch with them, because he was a member of the Veterans of Vietnam Wars for like 40 years, my friend was. So to contact that organization, and then I'd like to get in touch with his children or the follow all possible. I guess just to tell them what a wonderful guy their father was and some of the stories, you know, that we shared. We developed a real strong friendship, and unfortunately life goes too fast, and you know, you should have did something sooner, but that's the way things are. Yeah. You know, but this way here, at least I can, you know, get in touch with the family, and it'd be really nice. So I appreciate what you did for me on that, John.
No problem. Hey, who knows, maybe they've still got the watch,
right?
You never know.
You can ask for it back, or that's just great. That you're working on that. That will mean a lot to those. It's going to mean a lot to you when you connect, but it's going to mean a lot to those kids too. So, yeah, thank you for doing that. And I'm glad that, you know, Joe talked about all these things the veterans do, but that's a great service to reconnect you. And if anything we can do, you let us know, I think, and let us know how that ends up, because that I think that's going to be a very high point in your life.
Hey, Chuck, Joe here was Air Force. What do you say about those Air Force guys that flew those B-52s around your mountaintop resort?
Well, as all I can say is without them, you know, it's funny. I didn't realize how bad Quezon was. And I thought this was Vietnam because this was my first taste of combat, you know, and I thought, my God, I'm not going to make it for 13 months. There's no way. because, you know, we were on a hill outpost overlooking the Quezon base. There were two hills, 861 and 881. I was on 861. 881 was the one more noted in books and everything. But we both were a thorn in the side of the enemy because they couldn't get to the base. So we got, for 4 months, it was almost steady incoming every day after the siege thing started in 68. But the B-52s used to drop their load between us and the Quezon base, which was only about 3 miles away. You couldn't even see them. It would be a clear blue day, and all of a sudden you hear the screaming of the bombs coming down. But like I said, I didn't realize what a bad situation it was until I just recently just started reading about some of those incidents. And if it wouldn't have been for air support, especially from the ArcLight air support that they did for us, I'm sure we would not have survived, because we were a small unit and easily, you know, they weren't what I thought. I expected to go over there and see people throwing sharpened bamboo things and pitchforks at you. Well, these guys, the North Vietnamese Army was well disciplined, well trained, and well armed. And believe me, it was a year I'll never ever forget. You know, I mean, that whole ordeal there. So, but yeah, thanks to the B-52s. That was I'm sure that we wouldn't be having this conversation if it hadn't been for them. That's for sure.
Boy, you nailed that. What a great compliment to the team effort. And Johnny was telling me a little bit more about your story, and I can only say I'm sorry you went through that, but boy, I'm glad you're here to share it.
The battle of Quezon, people don't realize it went on for 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah, it was like I say, the camaraderie, you know, I mean, there again, you went over there very naive, kind of macho. That gets kicked out of you right away. It was a lot of the machoism. But on the same token, you know, you're talking 18, 19, 20-year-old, the majority of us were all in that age range. We were all in it together, and I seen and experienced sacrifices that soldiers do for their fellow soldiers, knowing good and well that it would probably end up in severe injury or death, which it did many times. They think nothing of it. So to me, like, when they throw that term.
Wait a minute, hold that, Chuck. Hold that thought right there. We're going to set to a real quick break. I want to pick that up as soon as we come back, exactly what you're saying.
You're back.
Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here, along with Joel Olick from the Veterans Service Office of Brown County. Chuck Wellens, a very distinguished United States Marine Vietnam veteran. 7:30, we've got Rob Domofsky coming on from ESPN, talk a little Packer camp and NFL. But Chuck, I was telling these guys a little bit more about your experiences that we'll share on the at the fair on the Veterans Day thing. But one thing that's really underrated, I mean, you can talk about these horrible things about getting attacked and everything like that, but another thing is that the North Vietnamese, like you said, were so smart. They would study tendencies. They would know where helicopters were going to land. They would bracket them. And you guys were almost left on your own regarding food and water, to the point where you were barely supplied, right?
Yeah, it was during the monsoons, and contrary to all belief, it was cold up there, and we were basically, sometimes the hill I was on, we were above the clouds. It was really like being in an airplane because of the height. So, but when the resupply would come in, they had everything zeroed in. So it got to be, we were very hungry. And luckily for the monsoons, we were able to catch water in our ponchos and just funnel it into. We survived, but we were all in it together, and I think that's the biggest item. You know, when you look at your fellow soldiers, and as I was saying before, that term hero gets thrown around a little bit too much, too easily lately. When you really see a hero, and it's not something that you learn in boot camp and or when you're in infantry training. It's something that's a spontaneous reaction to a situation. And you've seen it time and again. these guys that, you know, they just react to save another soldier's lives or a number of them. And, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of guys that I've seen that should have got extra commendations and things. I don't think it did happen because everything moved so fast. You know, you never had a real opportunity to get involved in anything. And that's it's sad because there are so many of them that deserve, you know, something to that their families could hold on to like that. You know,
that is so. And thanks for saying that. And that is so true that, you know, I mean, you guys didn't have iPhones and you couldn't document all the great things that were taking place at the time. You moved so quickly from one event to another event to another event. And it's great that you have those memories, and it's even better that you're sharing those memories, because there are just some, you talk about heroes. And John knows this better than anybody. And I really enjoyed, you know, work with him for the past couple of months, just learning more about, you know, what you went through there. I just don't think that's been documented like it should be. And I think it's great that you're going to be sharing this at the county fair. I hope a lot of kids show up and families show up to support this, because, these veterans, I mean, if they wouldn't have done what they did, we wouldn't be here talking to you right now.
But so, we were talking off mic a little bit about that, though, Jim, in regards to when we talk about the, you know, you can read a book, you know, Stephen Ambrose or whatever. And I'm not a writer like a Stephen Ambrose or anybody like that. But what I'm saying is that for people to see that it's a normal guy. Right. I mean, this guy's, you know, 6 foot tall, 180 pounds, and went to Premontre High School and, you know, grew up in Stiles or Oconto and those kind of things. And here he is doing, he isn't larger than life. He isn't this mythical John Wayne type fiction character. He's just a normal.
My neighbor.
He's your neighbor who did these incredible things.
Right.
That's the point. That's the part I love having somebody like you come and speak with me so they can put a face and a name together and say, wow, it was just a very average, great young American who did these extraordinary things.
Yeah, I really appreciate that, John. And being part of your book, it was a real honor. You know, I mean, we had a kick in the stomach at that time in my life. You came into it just at the right time. And my family and all my friends, it's just, I say you are the Gary Sinise of northeastern Wisconsin by far, you know, Captain John. So it was, you know, I mean, it just meant so much to me. But I mean, that introduction, when you talk about books and people that you really don't realize that, you know, in one of your previous books, World War II veterans, Amos Truckee, which, you know, he was a local resident here. Him and his wife owned a cafe just up the road. My dad went neither off and on. I had no idea until I read your book that, you know, I mean, and then he passed away. He was just a really a nice, kind face and everything. But boy, you know, I read his story, and that's what's nice about your writing. And I can truthfully say, to reading your books, I think I can speak for a lot of guys. It's nice to read those stories of people that live in the community,
right?
And you can relate to them, and you don't feel like, I don't feel this way on my own. So it's a form of therapy as far as I'm concerned. I've met some wonderful guys through your book, you know, and we know who they are. We share their their friendships, and I figure this late in life you're not going to meet new friends. Well, I was totally wrong.
But a form of therapy for you, but just a form of reality for the community to really understand that these weren't some people from the East Coast to West Coast. I mean, these are people from Oconto and Brown County.
Well, Amos Truckee, the group he was with, the 127th 32nd Division, all local National Guard guys who literally were working on the farm, and all of a sudden they're in New Guinea taking on the Imperial Japanese.
And then you wrote about Furman Plaza, right?
I'm sorry?
Furman Plaza?
Furman Balsa, yeah.
Balsa, yeah.
Pearl Harbor?
Right. So I see this guy in church all the time, and then I read John's book, and I'm like, wow, that guy's like two pews away from me every week. I mean, I think sometimes we have to be reminded that the people here that served were heroes, and we sometimes read John's books or just hear from people like you, and we'll hear from you at the Brown County Fair this Sunday. We're really looking
forward. Not this Sunday.
I mean, I'm not sorry. This Sunday, August 20th. You're right. We'd be getting there early. Yep. And John's never early.
Many American heroes among us.
Looking forward to it.
All right, August 20th.
Chuck, thank you so very much, buddy. Can't wait to see you.
Yep. Thanks again. Thanks both to you guys, and then we'll see you soon.
You got it, my friend. Take care. Chuck Wellens joining us. Joel Olick, Brown County Fair, Sunday, August 20th. Military and Veterans Appreciation Day, Veterans Benefits Outreach Events, open to active military veterans, survivors, dependents of veterans, family members, Sunday only, free admission for military people, get a Brown County Veteran Certificate, learn about VA benefits, veteran service organizations, Vet Center, the VA, free to veterans only raffle, top prize, a gas grill, and more. It's going to be a lot of fun. Also, special thanks to Joe Olick, Veteran Service Organization of Brown County, Chuck Wellens, outstanding United States Marine Vietnam veteran.
That guy's going to be great.
Isn't he something else?
He's going to be great. It's going to be fun to listen to him on August 20th.
It's going to be really great.
Yeah, he's got some good stories to tell.
And you know, talk about a guy who has some good stories to tell. You know, we had Big Wayne on the other day talking about his days where, you know, he was riding a bike naked and got arrested and yada, yada, yada. And
right.
Very prominent member of the community. Well, this man also, who was somewhat of a juvenile delinquent running the streets of Chicago in his youth, is now a big-time media member with ESPN, Rob Domofsky.
Rob, what an intro. Now, Rob, I was going to take the intro. Johnny said, no, let me handle this. I would have, right? Sorry, I'll get you next time.
Rob, were you on the precipice of going the wrong way? Yes or no?
Could have gone either way, John.
What was your biggest crime? Go ahead and tell him what was your biggest crime.
John, is this just what we want to get? This is the just, first time he's on our show.
Jim, you're not mayor anymore, okay?
All right.
Go
ahead, Rob.
Rob?
Well, I mean, John, you know the story about when we used to, I can't even say it without laughing. We used to go around riding our bikes around the neighborhood, and we'd see an open garage, and there was a case of, you know, case of Strohs or Old Style in there. We'd snag it. So we called it garage hopping back in the day.
Yes. All right. And now here you're a prominent member of ESPN.
Wow.
How's it going, buddy? How's obviously this is the time of year. You work pretty much 7 days a week from here on till what? Super Bowl, right?
You know what, John? Training camp's not like it used to be. Like, I mean, my first years, late 90s, early 2000s, they would go every day, twice a day, for about 10 or 12 straight days without a day off.
Yep.
I mean, it was, they'd go 8:45 in the morning and 2:15 or 2:45 in the afternoon. And then McCarthy came in and did the 8:45 in the morning and 6 o'clock at night practices. Those were just brutal days.
Yep.
And you were out there all day, John. They haven't gone more than an hour and I think 50 minutes a day. And they don't go more than I think 3 or 4 days in a row. Today is actually an off day. It's our second day without practice since camp started, and camp only started what, a week ago,
right?
So
right,
they just, you know, and I understand, like, there's so much money involved and there's so much like risk of injury that you're like, we're paying these guys so much money, we just can't risk putting them on the practice field and banging around. I mean, they've only gone in pads one time. So I mean, they had shoulder pads on Monday and then full pads on yesterday, and then they take a day off, right? Like, I mean, somewhere Ray Nitschke is just,
right?
He just can't believe it, right? I mean, like, what game has this become? But, you know, I also think, I was talking to one of the coaches the other day, walking up to from practice up to the field, and the guy has been around a long time in this league, and he, you know, he said, look, like, I think we work a lot more efficiently now. Like, I mean, I think people felt like they had to sleep in the office because that's what the other guy was doing.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that's, you know, that probably was never necessary. But I think even, I bet you if you talk to Mooch and those guys, they'd say, yeah, we probably overdid it a little bit.
Wow. Rob, you know, what Johnny and I were talking this morning when we got here, you know, I don't know, five. And I was, you know, with you coming on, and thanks for joining us. But, you know, with the lack of maybe X's and O's, do you think that they're covering a little bit more drama? You know, like, even there's this thing on, you know, Russell Wilson, is he getting along with his coach?
Sure.
And then Jerry Jones is upset with the defensive guy. And I just don't remember reading that when you were covering the Packers, the drama, but maybe I didn't read that part. Or do you think that there's more to it?
Look, it's different. Like, right, Jim, there was like, you know, when I worked for the Green Bay Press Gazette for 16 years,
right.
You know, there wasn't The Athletic, there wasn't Twitter, there wasn't, you know, ESPN.com was just in its sort of its infancy. And now, like, you know, working for ESPN and being out of training camp every day, I'm one of 32 reporters for ESPN. There's one in every city. The Athletic has the same thing. They basically have reporters with every team. And you combine that with the fact that there's probably less football going on in terms of practice.
Right.
And I think that stuff, you know, does get maybe magnified a little bit more. And, you know, social media is a part of that too, even if it's like, I guess I kind of call that amateur media a little bit, but,
right.
You know, that's part of it too, is everything anyone says anywhere is captured, you know, is recorded now, right? This is probably, if I said something stupid, I'm sure this would probably get recorded and played back somewhere for somebody. So I just think it's just sort of the for many reasons, the age that we're in.
And it, you know, with the NFL, but with politics too, you know, I mean, I just, it's different. And, you know, I, you and I kind of started, well, you're a little bit before me, but it's changed, and we haven't been around that long.
Thing I remember from a political standpoint was in high school, is that one of my buddy's friends was obsessed, his dad was obsessed with the Oliver North hearings. Remember those hearings? And that was like the first thing in my lifetime from a political standpoint that was like broadcast on 24-hour television.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, and this buddy of mine, his dad was an engineer, I believe, quit his job because he was obsessed with these things, watched them, and then ended up going to law school at like age 50. So, but now any hearing, like I was flipping around the channels last week, and the PGA Tour hearings in front of Congress about Liv and all this stuff. I mean, that was broadcast live on the Golf Channel, on C-SPAN. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I mean, who's watching this?
Oh yeah, they. Like the engineer, there are people watching that, believe it or not.
That first started, though, Jim, if I can just jump in. The first one I remember of that was Roger Clemens and those guys with the whole Balco steroid things.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's right.
That's kind of like when Congress first jumped into sports.
Right. But I guess
Jim's point is that there's just so much more now.
Right.
Know? Like, it's just that there's so much more out. And it's kind of, I would think it'd be really hard to operate in that world if you were on that side of it, if you're, you know, a politician, if you're an athlete, if you're a coach. I mean, just, you know, like when newspapers had, you know, when it was just newspapers, just radio and just local news, like you got one shot at it a day, right? Like I remember when I'm working for the Press Gazette, every morning opening up the Journal Sentinel, just hoping that they didn't have some scoop or some story that we didn't have.
Right.
Because if they did, you had to wait a whole other day to get back at them, right? Like that was now, if somebody has something, you can come back 5 minutes later with something else.
Right.
Like that, so it's just a totally different landscape.
So, Rob, in covering sports, the NFL, and John and I were talking again, but like this is an unbelievable business. Like an unbelievable business, you know, and with a B for billions. Do you think, I talked to Pepper one time about this. Do you think this is sustainable? I mean, you know, we were kind of, you know, dissing the NFL a little bit earlier because they're making a lot of revenue off gambling. And yet they're very critical of people who may step into that. Give me your perspective, and we can get John wants to talk to you more about the teams, but give me your perspective on the industry, the whole NFL.
Yeah, I mean, like at some point, is the bubble going to burst? You know, is there a crash coming? I would say as long as teams like the Packers have 100,000 people on the waiting list and people that, you know, go to Dallas and fill, you know, 100,000 seat stadium or whatever that place is, and I mean, walk around, look at the jersey sales, look at fantasy football. I just don't see, unless the people just get tired of it, and I don't see that happening. You know, I mean, I guess baseball way back when was America's pastime, and that was the most popular sport. you know, what happened to that, and, you know, why isn't baseball is as popular and as lucrative from a business standpoint as the NFL? I don't know. But right now, for me, in my lifetime, I don't see the NFL ever becoming anything less than number one.
Great. Did you watch the series Quarterback?
You know what? I haven't yet. And Peyton Manning was in town last, I guess, 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Apparently he's pitching something to the Packers, not Jordan Love appearing on season two of Quarterback. But it got me thinking, I do need to watch it. I got to admit, I just got done watching Yellowstone, and that was kind of a marathon. So I am looking for a show for
it's good.
My next show.
It's really okay. Personal. You know, the guy that comes off really cool is Kirk Cousins, like just being a really nice guy.
Well, yeah, and like, I mean, I was a little confused that, okay, why those three, right? I guess because they agreed to do it is probably the reason. But, you know, Mahomes is kind of an obvious one. Cousins, you know, I guess a little interesting, but, you know, Marcus Mariota.
I didn't even know he was still in the league, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Well, who did he play for? Tennis? No, who did he play
Atlanta.
For last year? Atlanta.
And then he quit the show halfway through. Great, because he got benched.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, he got benched and just left the thing. You didn't see him in the show anymore. But the one thing it did show, Rob, is they kept the cameras on the quarterbacks, like while they're playing, like even after the play.
The whole time.
It's amazing the pounding these guys take during the course of it's incredible.
You know what? I don't say this jokingly, although I guess I used to say it jokingly until the DeMar Hamlin thing happened. I'd said this. Even before, like right before that happened last year, I said to somebody, I go, you know, I just hope I get out of covering this business before someone gets killed on the football field.
Yeah.
You know, and it almost happened. Like,
oh, yeah.
I mean, it's
so brutal.
These guys are so big. They're so strong. They're so fast. That it's like, oh my God, look, I've got two kids, one graduated high school, one is going to be a junior, and not that I would have prevented them from playing football, but I'm glad they didn't. They ended up, you know, going toward basketball. Even younger, they never played football, and I got to be honest, I'm not upset about it.
You know who would agree with you on that is Jordy Nelson. I mean, he's got boys, and it's a brutal sport, you know, that from your perspective on the NFL, but you know, they hit pretty hard in some of these little kids
There's an article I read about a former official, and he was someplace, and the guy said, "Wow, bet you're glad you're out of it now, because you know these quarterbacks pretty much, you know, got, you know, whatever petticoats on them, or you can't touch them." And he says, "No." He said, "Let me tell you something. When I got out, I thought to myself, this is the best time to get out because I don't want to witness what these guys are so unbelievably physically beyond anything we've ever seen before." He said, if you didn't protect the quarterbacks, you'd go through four or five quarterbacks on each team a year if it was like the rules of the old days.
Really?
He said, you can't believe these defensive people these days.
It's not the powder puff league.
No, my goodness gracious.
Yeah. Wow.
You remember, John, I mean, like when I was younger, when you were, you know, when you were still doing it, I mean, Reggie White he was an oddity. He was a rare. Now they're all like Reggie White.
Yeah.
And they're all and bigger. You
yeah.
know? I mean, they're.
And faster.
I mean, even it's been a couple of years, but Julius Peppers was like, I mean, the guy was one of the most impressive physical specimens I've ever seen. And and they're all like it.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like, you know, it's
just.
I mean, even the first kid, the kid that the Packers drafted in the first round, Lucas Van Ness. I mean, he's a kid, and he's, you know, 6'5", 280 pounds, and he runs like crazy. You know, I mean, they call him Hercules. It's not a stretch.
It's unbelievable. Hey, Rob, we only have 2 minutes left here, but can we keep you up to the top of the hour?
Yeah.
Do you want to do one quick thing? Would you like to do a formal apology, a public apology?
I do have a story that I need to tell the mayor. So do you need to take a break?
We'll take a quick break. And we come back, it'll be Rob Domofsky's personal and formal apology to the former mayor of Green Bay.
Wait a second. I never said I would anything about an apology.
Let me decide that,
I'm going to frame it that way, Rob.
We'll talk to you after the break.
Hey, by the way, I have to have one PGA question.
Yeah.
Are they in trouble?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so too.
It's not. Yeah, it is. And you know, you're talking about quarterbacks. Real quick, the Netflix did a PGA Tour series called what the heck was it called? It was really good. An 8-part episode.
Yeah, I saw it.
Spent the whole year behind the scenes. Really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
But they're in trouble right now with everything that's going on, aren't they?
As far as getting it together.
Yes,
they are.
Yeah. All right.
Yep.
All right. We're with Rob Domofsky, Ace Reporter. And Rob, think about this. Your start in the broadcasting world was with me and Vinny, wasn't it? Was it?
It pretty much was.
Yes.
Yep, it was.
And now look where he is and look where I am.
Look where you are.
Look at that.
Wow.
Wow.
Congrats, Rob.
Yeah.
Pretty much the same place.
He's rubbing shoulders with Scott Van Pelt. And, well, you and me are literally rubbing shoulders right here. Mino and the Mayor. We'll be back with Rob Domofsky right after this.
All right, we're welcoming a new sponsor, this Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, the world through your window. If you bundle the 250 series patio door and 8 double hung windows with exclusive hidden screens, they're awesome. Pays as low as $188 a month. Now that's a good deal. Visit PellaWI.com today. Certain restrictions apply. See the showroom for details. Offer ends at the end of this month. Pella is, I have those in my house, John. You got to come over sometime. And I know I should invite you sometime. Maybe that's.
If I'm ever invited, I'll be there.
That is true.
Yeah.
I do have the Pella. We love that company. Anyway, so
joining us right now, Rob Domofsky.
Great guest.
And let me set this up.
All right.
Now, Rob, you say it's not an apology. It's just a explanation in regards to the former contact you had with the then mayor of Green Bay, the Honorable Jim Schmidt.
Yeah, okay. So here's the story. And I got to tell you, like, I've told this story to some of my colleagues at ESPN because, like, they can't. There's certain things, as you guys know, everybody listening knows, that are just different about Green Bay. Is, you know, you see people out in the community, like everyone sort of knows someone who knows everybody. Like the way news sometimes filters down in this town is like people can't believe it. You know, like David Bakhtiari, when he tore his ACL a couple of years ago, I got a text from a buddy of mine. Hey, a buddy of mine's buddy saw Bakhtiari going here. And, you know, like it's just that kind of stuff. Happens in this town, right? So obviously seeing the mayor was not an unusual sight, but there was one morning on an early Saturday morning, I was going out to play golf on a Saturday morning like usual, and remember the old, where the old farmer's market used to be on Saturday morning, kind of, it was that sort of that parking lot behind the post office downtown.
Right. Associated Bank owned that, right.
Is mm-hmm. that okay? Associated, so that's and that's actually a key part of the story. There's an ATM right there. There used to be an ATM, just a freestanding ATM in that parking lot.
Right.
And you sort of took this alley, and you know, I'd always stop there, pick up a few bucks on my way to the golf course on Saturday morning. Well, one sunny Saturday morning in June or July, it was a beautiful day out, had the windows in the Mini Cooper down, had the music playing, and I was going down that alley. I guess that would be just east of the post office, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was going a little fast, okay? I'll admit, I was going a little fast for an alley. And all of a sudden, I see this person sort of jump out from behind the post office, I believe holding a coffee cup in one hand, and basically jumped out and yelled, "Slow down!" Like at me, basically making a hand gesture to slow down. And I don't know why, for whatever reason, I stuck my middle finger out my window and flipped off that person. Meanwhile, it was like in a movie. Everything slowed down. My eyes locked upon this person, and it seemed like in slow motion, the person I gave the finger to was none other than Mayor Jim Smith. And I just hit the gas and kept going once I realized who it was.
That's funny, Rob.
Somehow I told this story at one of my first times I was out in Bristol, Connecticut at ESPN. And Dan Graziano, who hosts some of our TV shows, every time that I would be on, he would introduce me as the mayor of Green Bay, Rob Domofsky, because of that story. And the funny thing is, I don't know, Jim, if we had ever actually met before that. But it was I don't know what year it was, except for it was the same summer that the Packers opened the new, what is now the training camp field, the new stands.
Nischke Field?
When they opened up, when they redid Nischke Field and opened up, because a couple weeks later, training camp started, and I was walking into training camp, and I run into Mark Schiefelbein, who worked for the Packers at the time, and I think was a big part of that project. And you, Mr. Mayor, were standing there talking to Schief. And Schief calls Leo, hey, Rob, how you doing? Doesn't the new facility look great? I'm like, yeah. Meanwhile, I'm trying not to look him in the eye. And Schief goes, well, you know Mayor Schmidt. Oh, yeah, I'm like, oh, yeah, I've seen him once or twice.
And then
then
we waved with all five fingers. Well, thanks for that.
Well, the funny thing is, later I moved from Alloway Terrace over to Jackson Street, not far from where you, I don't know if you still live over in Astor Park, but not far from where you lived. And every year at Jackson Street, we had a block party, and one or two times you kind of came over to the block party and we, chit-chatted or whatever. But I always wanted to say, you remember when the guy in the alley gave you the finger? You probably don't even remember it, but that was me.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I hate to say, Rob, that you weren't the only guy to do that. But
to this day, they walk by our window and do
that. They still do that, but look, I think Johnny asked me that because you guys met, and I'm like, I met you one time at, not with Schiefelbein, but another time. And I'm one of the guys who, like, I still get the Press Gazette, even though, I don't think it's the greatest paper, but I and I always.
Well, I mean, all the papers have gotten so condensed.
I read it. I still have an online subscription, but the actual newspaper is yesterday's news tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, if it wouldn't be for the sports, and that's what kept those guys alive, and you were a big part of that. I always enjoyed reading your stuff. Like I said, you're not the only guy that ever gave me the finger, but but you got to slow down in the farmer's market. There's kids rocking through there.
I know you want to
get on the course.
Well, here's the thing, like, not that I wouldn't apologize, but I didn't really mean it. I didn't know it was going to be the mayor.
Trust me, Rob is feisty. Rob is not a guy you want to tangle with. Those are two feisty guys. Hey, Rob, I just want to say congratulations to your son. I followed his basketball career at DePere. What a phenomenal career. And he's going to be playing at Lawrence. Is that right?
That's right. Yep. And then I've got my younger one's going to be playing. He'll be a junior at DePere, and so hopefully they got a chance to do it again. But it was an unbelievable run to win a state championship. Not just win a state championship, but I think they're 30-0, and I think they only had two games decided by less than 10 or 12 points. So it was an unbelievable ride.
That's something else we have in common. Live in the same neighborhood. We greet each other differently, but my daughters went to Lawrence. That's a good school. I mean, they must be pretty bright kids.
It's a really good school. A lot of smart kids. Basketball wise, they've had some good tradition in the mid to early 2000s, and they've got a great coach there now. Newer coach that came from UW Oshkosh, where they won a national title, and I think he's kind of heading in the right direction. And you and I, way back in the day, were in a lot of cool old basketball gyms and arenas when you were doing the GB game. I know it's Division III, but the Alexander Gym at Lawrence is one of the coolest old gyms. I mean, out from the outside, it looks like a library, not a gym. It's just such a cool old building. And I don't know. Those days when we used to go to Hinkle Fieldhouse, I'm kind of a nerd for old basketball.
Me too.
And that gym is really cool.
We had some fun times back then, didn't we, Rob?
But that Lawrence is
one. Yeah, one time I think I prevented you from getting arrested at Wright State when you couldn't get on the press row and the cops were got involved.
I believe
that. Look at the time.
That's a story for another show.
If we could bring Lee Remmel back and talk about the times he prevented me from getting arrested at NFL stadiums.
You're awesome, Rob.
Rob, you're the greatest. Continued good luck. Love watch your stuff, and truly appreciate you taking the time. I know everybody wants to talk to you. I really appreciate this, buddy.
Thanks for having me, and I'm glad I finally got that story off my
head. Me too. It was classic. Thanks, my brother.
We'll be seeing you.
Take care, Rob Domofsky. What a great show today as far as with our guests.